Blog Talk Radio.
And God bless each and every one of you. I pray that you are staying dry on today, because I know in Louisiana it's wet, rainy, and very cold. Let us go before the Lord in prayer. Spirit of the living God, I thank you that you have allowed us to assemble together once again. God, I pray that you would just increase our revelation. Father God, I ask that you would bless each and every one that is tuned in on today. Lord, I pray that you would touch them, give them revelation and knowledge. God, for truly this is the day that you have made, and we choose to rejoice and be glad in it. And Father God, I ask all of this in your darling son Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Once again, I thank each of you for tuning in on today. I do encourage you to go back to the archives and listen to the different types of fasts that we have discussed earlier on last week. We had been talking about the different types of fasts according to the Bible. We was discussing that there are many types of fasts besides the Daniel fast, because everyone mostly discusses the Daniel fast. But on today we are going to be talking about the widow's fast, and we're going to be talking about Paul fast. So I want you to go and get your Bibles. And also, I want you to, like I said, review the archives and listen to the type of fast that we have already discussed. For example, the disciples fast. We discussed that. Ezra fast. We discussed that. We have discussed the Samuel fast. And we have discussed the Elijah fast. So just go back to the archives and take notes and everything. I'm very excited because I know God is doing something, and he's doing a new thing through the ones that have made up their mind to go on this solitude or this fast to get closer to him, to gain more revelation and more knowledge. I'm telling you, you guys, the more you fast, the more you are denying yourself, and the more you are allowing God to come in, and the more your relationship will get closer with him. So if you have any questions, I please encourage you to call in at 347-324-3622. That's 347-324-3622, and the lines are open between 5:30 and 6 o'clock only. That's when I'm going live. So if you don't have a question between that time and you will think of anything else, you can email me personally at faithisthekey. That's one word, faithisthekey47@gmail.com. Shoot me a question and I will be gladly give you a reply. So let us go to the first one, which is the widow's fast. And it is found in 1 Kings 17, chapter 9 through the 16th verse. And 1 Kings 17, chapter 9. I'm going to give you a minute to find it. 1 Kings 17, chapter 9, 16 verses. So let us read 17. Okay, everybody has it. Okay, start at that 9th verse. Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell widow and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. So he arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel, that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And he said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks, that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. And Elijah said unto her, fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. For thus says the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her rope and her house did eat many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah. See, there are times, as you read, the widow woman was given a commandment by God to do something concerning Elijah. And she didn't want to do it because of the fact she was thinking about herself and her son. Excuse me. Many times when God asks us to do something, we may not want to do it because we're not thinking on the outcome. Listen to me good. We don't want to do it because we're thinking, hey, God, I just have this much left, and this is only for me and my child. We want to put other things ahead before we do what God tells us to do. But in the midst of it all, it is only your act of obedience. That's what she did. She obeyed Elijah and did what Elijah said do, and then she had more than enough. Elijah just told her to bake that cake, and when she was doing it, she had more than enough, for the Bible says. Her wheelbarrow ran over. Her barrel ran over. So she had more than enough. She was blessed. Sometimes we hinder our own blessings to become more than enough. So the widow's fast is a fast to provide for the needy. Because, see, sometimes we have to forget about our own selves, come on now, and put somebody else up ahead of us, provide for the needy. And God, and oftentimes people do stuff in the community for the less fortunate, and it burns me up to see them post on Facebook and say, well, I did this and I did that for the person. God say what you do in secretly, he will reward you openly. God bless you, man. God, how are you doing?
I'm blessed. How are you?
Okay. Nice for you to come on today. It's a blessing to have you on today. I thank God that I have a chance to once again to continue to talk about the different types of fasts. We was just going over the widow fast, how that God had told the widow woman what to do, and well, Elijah had to go to her and ask her to just make a little cake, but she didn't want to do that because she only had enough for her and her son. And so today we are talking about the widow's fast, how God wants us to fast for the less fortunate, for the needy. Mm-hmm. And then I was just explaining to the people of God how people who help the needy, how they tend to put them on quote-unquote display of showing what I did for this person or what I did for that person. God say anything you done in secret, he will reward you openly. So in that perspective, we're fasting for the less fortunate, because the widow, she went out without food to meet the physical needs of someone else. Man of God, do you feel like a lot of people are not sacrificing for other people in this day and hour? They're all about their own specific needs and how they can help others, how that per se they can glory in the profane of, you know, helping others.
Even when pray now in this hour, for you to even get a break, whether it's, you know, people are problem is when you understand, when you become saved and who actually has a relationship with God, not that word that the world likes to throw around, a Christian. When you have a relationship with Christ, because if you're in relationship, you're in fellowship. And when you have a relationship with Christ, it'll tell you that you should be the most, that automatically is a sign that you should be the most unselfish person in the world. And being unselfish, like Jesus Christ was, because his Father offered him up as a living sacrifice for people who were undeserving. And sometimes, as Christians, we have to fast, we have to pray for folks who don't deserve it. We have to lay before the Lord for people who don't deserve it. But what's sad is we always try to put the I where it does not belong, because we always try to make I us when it's supposed to be not I but he.
Exactly. And that's what that is what I'm seeing nowadays, because I guess they would get the glory, or they'd be looking for some profound glory of, look who I've helped on today. And, you know, that can be so embarrassing. And I'm like this, if that you got to broadcast that you have helped me, or that you have blessed me, just please keep it. Just keep it, because it does not glorify God at all. It does not glorify him at all, because it's just only glorifying you. And then I thank God for you. But then there comes a time to where we are turning this thing off of God onto other people, or then onto us to make us look good. And and then I was really reading Second Kings, and I see how the woman, she really sacrificed, because I was telling other people, I was telling the people earlier today, sometimes we don't want to take that leap of faith to sacrifice, because for instance, if I have just enough money to pay my light bill, and then God tells me to sow half of it, I'm not going to be in agreement. Now, this was before I knew. I wasn't in, you know, agreement, because this was my utility bill. But then once I learned, and then once I gave it, man of God, God blessed me with a more than enough. And so that's what I was looking at with the widow woman. She was thinking of herself and her child, and she wasn't looking at how God was going to bless her abundantly. And man of God, wouldn't you say we have some people like that now? They don't want to take that leap of faith to trust God to bless them with a more than enough.
Absolutely, woman of God. You know, everybody want God to pour into them, but nobody wants to make a sacrifice for inside of God.
That's it.
See that situation now, even inside the church. Everybody, when they hear the sermon that you're going to get blessed, they jump, shout, buck, everything else. But when it's over, they say, well, now it's time to activate your faith. The Lord calls for a $44 seed. All you hear is roaches. Reason why is because nobody wants to do the uncomfortable thing to be comfortable. Do you understand? And us as Christians, we need to understand that if, for example, if we look inside the world, if a lot of folks before us didn't march for us, we would be just like them today. We would be slaves. If Job would have cursed God and chose his wife, he would have died before he fulfilled his mission. It's a lot of things we mess up on as Christians, especially when it's time to activate our faith and when it's time to put our faith in motion. But immediately when we have to give something, that's when we become selfish. But how are you going to ever become the lender if you always the one borrowing?
That's so true. If that you always taking and you never depositing, you always withdrawing from somebody. And that is very true, because some of us, we need to take heed from the widow and her encounter with Elijah, and how that she just obeyed him because she was hesitant, but then she did obey him. Let us talk about the power fast, because I was reading on the power fast how Paul was praying for physical healing and was getting directions from God. And the Bible said that he was submitting his will to God's will and to ask God to reveal his will concerning his own personal will. Man of God, this is where a lot of Christians are today. We are in the will of God, per se, but most of us are not in the will that God has for us to be in. Because if that we know our will, what God's will is, we wouldn't be in the predicament. Sometimes we are, sometimes we're down, sometimes we have faith and sometimes we don't have faith to believe him. Sometimes we just want to walk according to his word, and then sometimes we don't, some of us don't realize that on this Christian journey, we're going to face things. But if we in the will of God, God can help us through it, because God knows just how much we can take because we are in his will. So, man of God, explain to the people how that it is important for people to be in the will of God and to seek the will of God for your own life.
Woman of God, I gave this analogy one time with the people of God. When you are in the will of God and you desire to stay in the will of God, that is like cashing a check that you know will never bounce. The reason why a lot of people are falling short and they're remaining sick, they're remaining hungry, they're remaining broke, is because they do not have that desire to please God, to see God's will. Because even the word of God tells us, you say, if you be willing and obedient, you'll eat the good of the land. Willing and obedience all falls inside of the will of God. If the Bible tells you, according to your biblical rights, that God has everything you need and everything you could possibly want, why would you step outside of his will or do contrary to his will when you don't know what's out there? The only thing that's really out there is yourself and the power to be rebellious. You know, if we think about the man who ended up in the belly of the fish. Think about it for a moment. He was given his instructions. Stay in God's will. Go do this. Stay like that. He decided to go somewhere else. That's why he ended up in the belly of that fish. Besides that, he wouldn't have never done that. It's sometimes, and in some things, God tries to take us through that we shouldn't have to go through, but we put ourselves through. And then we ask him to take us out of it. Lord, bless me with a husband. Okay, cool. You're asking God to bless you with a husband. And while you're waiting, wait. Not actually wait, because you will know if you're inside of God's will, if that's your husband.
Yes.
While you wait on your husband, you're not supposed to date and have sex with everybody. You're not supposed to turn around. And you're not supposed to do all kind of things outside of the will of God, because God ain't going to send you nobody that's going to take you out of the will of God.
Exactly. That's so true. And, man of God, you said something so profound, because many a time that's how we mess up, because we think that God is taking so long, and then We truly want to move for God when our God has his perfect timing, because some of us cannot handle what our God has for us right now, so then he has to take us through something. So many of us need to pray and ask God what is his will for our lives, so that we won't mess it up. Because anytime we ask God for his will, it's going to be well done. So, man of God, you have any last words to share with the people?
Woman of God, I would rather abandon my family than get out of the will of God.
I know that's right.
When we sing that song, I'm chasing after you.
No matter
what I have to do, take that to heart. Because I will put down a meeting with the President of the United States to chase God. So I don't understand how people are saved and how they say that they in God's will and desire to do God's will, but they don't activate it by actually doing God's will. It's not what you say that grows on your tree. It's actually what come off of your tree that produces. So if you're not inside of the will of God, I would check myself as far as my fruit. I would check where my heart is. Because if your heart not in the right place, you're not gonna do the right thing. You might as well be a pimp on the side of the street.
Okay.
Because you're a pimp God when you're not in his will. Because you decide to do you and not do God. So if you're not in his will, I encourage you to check yourself so you can get inside of his will. Because the Bible tells us in his presence is the fullness of joy. And I don't know about anybody else, but I don't not only want to look happy, but I actually want to be happy. I actually want to be in the land flowing with milk and honey. I actually want to be in the place where it's more than enough, but I know that it's in no other place but in his will.
That's it. That is so true. Man of God, that is so true. I just pray and I just encourage each and every one of you to seek the will of God. And also, if that you miss any of these types of fasts that we have discussed weeks before, please log on to the archives and you can listen to them there. This is some great vital information to have. Man of God, I thank you so much for tuning in on today, and I pray that your week and your weekend is blessed. And for the listening audience, I thank you as well for tuning in. Until next week, everyone have a blessed day. Bye-bye. Thank you, Pastor.
God bless. Yes, ma'am. Bye-bye.